We're back. Science Dude back in the room, back in the house, talking about Leeds United. We've had a break, haven't we?
Yeah.
Why?
Listen, we fell out of love a little bit. Not with each other.
With something else.
Not with our listeners.
No,
all seven of them.
Yeah. We've got one more. Okay.
Go on. But I think we were adjusting to the Premiership as well, really, weren't we?
Yeah.
Emotionally, physically.
Spiritually. Listen, let's talk about, just before we get started, let's talk about adjusting to the Premiership.
Mm.
I've spoken to a lot of football fans from a lot of different teams. Liverpool fans, Everton fans, Arsenal fans, Leicester City fans. And there's a general consensus that Leeds United are pretty much, Leicester City aside possibly, the most exciting thing to happen to the Premiership for some years. Yeah. I wouldn't watch Match of the Day if Leeds United weren't on it. I don't need to see Southampton against Burnley. I'm not interested. All I care about is Leeds United, obviously, and it seems to me that there's more people in this country that support other teams where they're saying, I want to watch how Leeds have gone.
You know what it's highlighted to me?
What is it highlighted to you?
It's highlighted to me lazy journalists.
Yeah.
Pundits who are intellectually retrograde.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, it's that sort of... I'll tell you what I've seen. There's something about Leeds in the way that they play.
Yeah.
Like, they attack, even when they're 2-0 up.
They still attack.
Like, yeah, if you'd have watched three of our games last season, you would have seen. If you'd have watched any of Marcelo Bielsa's previous clubs, you would have seen that that's what we're going to do.
It's
just one of those... Match of the Day last week, they were stumbling across one of the players that we've been touting.
Yeah.
I mean, touting all the way through last season, Stuart Dallas.
Mm.
They were talking about him like he'd just been birthed from some sort of scientific experiment.
Yeah.
And has just sort of slipped out of some pod and is this brand new footballer.
Mm.
They're talking about Ayling. Like, can you believe that Ayling has made more forward passes than, you know, anyone else in the Premiership? Can you believe that he's had more touches than anybody else as a fullback apart from Andrew Robertson? It's like, yes, I can.
Mm, mm.
And I'll tell you why. Because that's what it was like last season.
Yeah.
And Bielsa sets up his team in a certain way. And you know what? It made me, for a little while, and I don't know why I responded this way. Maybe it's the attachment disorder. I don't know. Maybe it's the psychosis. But it made me not want to think about Leeds for a little while in the context of other people. Because I was like, you don't get to enjoy our toys. They're ours.
I feel like you're channeling something else there.
Get your hands off me! my toys, I mean. No, that sounds wrong. Anyway, in another note, I did have a really bad Christmas once. But anyway, look, I feel like I've come through the other side now. And I'm actually really excited about the fact that people are finally seeing what we've been going on about.
Yeah. I mean, the obviousness of how it was brilliant. We all said it was brilliant. And everyone went, well, that's what Leeds supporters do. Even when we had shite. We won a couple of games in a row. And in the past, we'd say, oh, this is a turning point. And then we were roundly mocked by every other fan.
Yeah.
Now we've got something amazing. We all know it's amazing. We've told people for years now it's amazing.
Mm.
And now it is amazing.
Mm.
And it's there for everyone else to be amazed at. I love Twitter and all the other social media going, Leeds fans getting carried away. And it's like, oh, you absolute Muppets. Yeah. So, but we've got
interesting
some...
turn of phrase there.
Well, why
do you manage Sheffield United?
not recently.
Oh, okay. No. Well, that's an aside. Look, listen.
It's incredible. And I think genuinely we'll look back on this in 10 years' time and say, can you remember when we came up to the Premiership?
Yeah.
And can you remember racing to 40 points?
Yep.
And being on, you know, on the outskirts of Europe. And I don't just mean Brexit.
You went there.
I mean, yeah.
You
social commentary. Yes, please.
Is that our social commentary?
Yeah.
Oh, aren't the buses late these days?
Right wing, wrong wing.
Left wing, schmeft wing.
Yeah. Careful.
Corbyn will get you.
Yeah. Oh, Boris and his hair.
We're talking about Leeds. Because in Stu's appraisal,
yeah.
We haven't had anything to appraise recently. One of the things that was said that we end up talking about other things other than Leeds, bear in mind this is a Leeds podcast. No. Look, listen, the thing you're talking about, like that we've been going on about for ages.
The milk snatcher.
She'd be turning in her grave. If that was possible. But yeah. Unfortunately, we all face oblivion at the end, don't we? So, but listen, I'd heard about chicken fajitas. But you,
is that
as
the
you
new player we're trying to sign?
As you,
is he coming from South America? Chicken fajita. We're trying to sign everyone. So every time someone says something to me, the other day someone said beef bourguignon. I said, "Oh, is he a right winger?"
I love a bit of beef. There is an Italian player called Lasagna.
Oh, okay, lovely. Yeah,
and I just love seeing Lasagna on the pitch every time. But listen, I'd heard about chicken fajitas. And you like to go on about how I'm this sort of troglodyte who has grown up effectively one step out of the cave. I'd heard about it, but I'd never experienced it. I'd seen the packs, Old El Paso, in the shops. And I'd been like...
Old El Paso fajitas.
Now listen, people had heard about Bielsa.
Yeah.
And there were hints. Mm. So I'd been to a restaurant that served fajitas. That was Bilbao versus Man United.
Yeah.
I had actually bought a pack of fajitas, Old El Paso, that then sat in my cupboard. Bielsa in the championship.
Brilliant.
Then one day, I opened that pack up and I made myself some fajitas with guacamole.
This is sour the worst cream, anecdote I've ever heard.
Refried beans.
Right, okay. You've taken, okay.
Doritos on the top. Yep. Bit of cheese. Iceberg lettuce for freshness. And they are now my absolute favourite thing to eat. If you asked me what I would like for dinner, every single night I would say chicken fajitas. Leeds in the Premiership. And that is why people tune in to listen to us. It's that level of commentary. It's that level of in-depth analysis that I think is going to drive us from 7 listeners to 8. Possibly down to 4.
I think as soon as we start moving from chicken fajitas to talking about tacos... That's when we'll hit double figures.
I've not got to that stage yet.
So what point were you trying to make?
That basically, people have heard rumours of Bielsa.
Mm.
They saw him tear apart Ferguson's Man United with Bilbao. They've heard other managers reference him just here and there. There's hints.
Yep.
We were going on about him in the Championship. People were hearing bits and bobs. The Arsenal game. Again, easy to just sort of think, oh, that was pretty good. And then it disappears. Like, oh, that was pretty good.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then, now we're in the Premiership, they've taken a bite.
Mm.
And they like what they're tasting. Right.
Well, special combination of herbs and spices.
Should we talk about the game?
Let's talk about Sheffield. Sheffield United.
The Blades.
So, yeah, the Blunts.
The Blunts.
Yeah.
The Knives.
So, it was a funny old game.
The Steelers.
For me, but yeah, thank you.
You
anything
welcome.
Else?
No, I've run out.
How about the fucking gods? Yeah, fucking ham-faced idiots.
Yeah.
No, fair play to them. Because the thing is, for me, that was a game that we would have been happy with a 0-0.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Oh, God, I need to keep up one syllable at a time. And it was a game that, in the first season that Bielsa was in charge, we probably would have lost.
Yeah, absolutely right.
We would have been on the receiving end of that. In fact, Sheffield United did it to us in that first season.
Yeah.
That famous gif that does a circulating around on Twitter of Basham sliding and wearing that disastrous luminous shirt.
Yeah.
So, as the newspapers said, we now have bragging rights. We have a couple of things to talk about. Wow, I'm going to brag. I've been bragging to everyone that wants to know about it. Because
you brag when you get a new pair of trousers.
I brag when I successfully go to the toilet without any major spillages.
You're a braggart.
I'm a braggart. And what I would say is, that game showed a couple of things about Leeds United. The first one was... that we are starting to get the... I think there's a lot of luck involved in that. You do make your own luck. But I tell you what, Jackie Harrison. Woo! Right?
He'll be on fire against Man City.
Yeah, but you know what? Whoever comes in for him will be vying for his place. So, I mean, if Alioski's on the wing, so be it. I think he'll do all right. And Man City are like cultured players. They'll look at Alioski and go, where is this third division Moldovian kind of
North women? Macedonian?
Well, no, but I think he would have been squeezed out of North Macedonia.
Also, I'm not sure they're strong on geography.
No. I think it would just be a bit too tough for him in Macedonia, and definitely North Macedonia. But I think he will be in places they won't expect him to be. Anyway, that's by the by. But so we're on the right end of a result.
What, like the roof?
And for me, there's a really interesting question about Bamford here, because we spoke about Bamford at length last season. We rued him, we booed him, we tried to canoodle him.
We also made slightly Nostradamus-like predictions about him, didn't we, Stu?
I'm not sure I did. I think you may have.
Yeah, I guess I did, didn't I? Hey, remind me what I said, though. I think,
like Nostradamus from times past, we mused about the idea that perhaps the championship was too rough and tumble for him. It was too direct, almost. Too full on, too forceful, too... I think just proper bona fide English football is the championship.
Yeah.
You could argue that the top tier of every single country has it's like a European league. So how you play in Europe, and for me, that's the difference in English football, probably since Alex Ferguson, actually, is that we've introduced a European style of football.
Yeah.
Now,
and do you think he benefits from that?
I don't know, because I don't know anything about football. But something's happened in the past three games in which he scored three goals. Yeah. And not only has he scored three goals, but he's looked absolutely electric. Now, I don't know. I'm going to play devil's advocate. I don't know whether he's just happier being on a bigger stage. I don't know whether he doesn't want to do like a damp Tuesday in Preston.
Yeah.
Every single game feels like a cup final. And it's because we've been away for so long.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether he would just do really well in an FA Cup final.
But does every game feel like a cup final because of the way Bielsa makes us play and the way that he fits into that? Like, because my feeling is this: like, is it that he just fits the system really well in the Premiership? Like, for example, you don't order foie gras at a Wimpy.
I did once,
and you were laughed out of the place.
They gave me a chicken fillet. I ate it, and I left because I will not be served like that at a Wimpy or anywhere else.
And Margate was never the same.
No.
Is it...
That's awful.
Can you tell I'm hungry?
Yeah.
I've mentioned food like seven times.
Yeah.
Or is it that just simply the way Bielsa has set the team up means that it is actually more suited to the Premiership? Is Bamford more suited to the Premiership, or are Leeds more suited to the Premiership?
I think Leeds aren't suited to the Premiership. That's the fascination.
Mm.
They don't play football like anybody else.
No.
Lester Dave had a go at me the other day because I said that Bamford has had the last laugh because he was rejected by Chelsea and sent down, and ever since he's kind of languished. He's been a champion of the languishers. He's never been dreadful. He's always just been kind of okay.
Mm.
I mean, these are famous last words. The next 10 matches will be the making or breaking of that lad's career. I think he's a good striker. I think under severe pressure, he can stand up, but under severe pressure, we've seen him capitulate as well. My feeling is that this season already feels short. You know, if I turn around to you now and say we need 34 points to stay safe.
Yeah.
And we've got, 35 matches to go?
Yeah.
I mean, they have a lot more matches than that in the championship. Yeah. You know, it already feels short to me. Mm. And I think that by the end of October, people will be thinking, but I saw a mad tweet the other day where a Spurs fan was saying, let's get in and buy Bamford. And now, for me, that's madness. But for a team that's struggling to score and
That's a word of a man panicking.
But I'm just saying, he's already got that status now of someone that's deadly in front of goal in the Premiership.
Yeah, which is, and this, it goes back to what we were talking about before.
Yeah.
People are trying to play with our toys and they don't know what they're about.
You don't want to play with my toys. At least give him a wipe down first.
Particularly in this current climate.
Yeah.
So the goals. Or goal, should we talk about?
Yeah. So it was a clever goal. You know, it was the kind of goal I want to see our players score.
Were you delighted that Rodrigo went hunting for that ball?
I was really happy. I like challenges like that. You know, when it's kind of like both feet meet the ball at the same time and then one player just has 1% advantage and it just shot out to the wing.
Yeah.
And what I love is Jack Harrison, head down. That was a product of relentless practice. Just relentless. That was a training ground cross. That was incredible.
That was season two Jack Harrison.
Yeah.
Because season one Jack Harrison, who made a little appearance at the end of at the end of the lockdown period, got me worried. But we're seeing season two Harrison at the moment.
Yeah.
And dare I say it, potentially season three Harrison. Because we're seeing season three Bielsa, and we still don't know what that looks like, because nobody in the world knows what that looks like. We're seeing season two Costa.
Yep. Costa is stepped right up.
It was a good finish by Pat, wasn't it? He was deliberate in what he did, and he owned it at the end of the match, where he was like, I'd said to the wingers, just I'll keep peeling off. Yeah. And he did it a couple of times, but actually, you know, he converted one. And at that point in the game, I've got to say, I felt that we deserved it. I felt we deserved that goal. The amount of pressure that we were putting on, we looked like the side, I've got to say, who had been in the Premiership for longer. I actually quite like Sheffield United. Their players tackle robustly. There's something honest about them.
It's you know they're going to be okay.
I got really worried when McBurney and Sharp came on because both of those two just... They just strike me as a typical, they'll get you that 1-0 win. A bit like, you know, the old Kevin Davis.
We're going to come on to that in a bit. Were you at all concerned about our defence?
No.
A couple of times, I think they sived through us relatively simply.
But I think they're siding through the midfield a little bit at the moment, maybe. Okay. I think this leads me on to our next sort of feature that we're going to try to make for regular.
New feature. Go on.
It's called The Good, The Bad and The Ugly. I wonder if we could whistle a sort of a Western theme tune coming over. I mean, you've taken us to a different level there.
Da-dum.
Imagine a tumbleweed. The Good, The Bad and The Ugly. I felt that there were lots of contenders for good, cock being one of them.
Good cock. Ugly.
Bad Tyler Roberts, but not for his own doing.
I feel sorry for that lad. He needs to go out on loan, I think.
He needs to not be played in midfield.
Yeah.
So for me, the good, there are lots of contenders. They're Dallas, as always, standing agenda item.
Stuart, it's interesting, Dallas, isn't it, when we spoke to the chaps from All Stats.
Yeah.
And... they just, you know, John didn't rate
Dallas
at all. Although, I know that they're pumping out, podcasts based on Dallas in the last couple of days. But I'd like to probably speak to him again and see what he says about it, because he is migrated to the Premiership with aplomb, if you don't mind me saying.
Again, it goes back to, has he or has Bielsa's system, of which he is an integral component? And I'm happy to get it wrong in that I was convinced that... Douglas would be our left back, just because he had a bit more of a cultured pass, just that he had a little bit more of a specialism in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But Dallas is he's undroppable at the moment.
Mm.
The interesting thing is, like, Ayling can have a bad game, but nobody calls for him to be replaced.
Yeah.
The problem that you've got if you're Dallas is you can have one bad game and people are like, oh, right, well, the left back, no one's sure what's going on there. Mm. So Dallas for me was good. I thought Coxon was good.
Coxon.
Zicock.
Cox stood out and shone brightly.
Like a beacon. I thought Rodrigo, for me, looked hungry.
Hungry.
Yeah. Really hungry. Costa, Poveda, you know, across the board we looked good. But I think had to pick one who stood out for me, I think it was Cox, because he's come under a lot of criticism. And I know... that he will feel responsible for the mistakes that have been made. And he put in, I think, a towering performance. And there were bits that weren't noticed by anyone else or weren't celebrated by the commentators, where he was in one-on-one situations where he was actually the last man back, that if he got turned, if he didn't make that header, if he didn't put pressure on the attacker in that moment, Sheffield would have been through.
Mm.
But he did. regularly, to the point where I'd have been really demoralised if I was their striker. He just was like...
Would you say that the blades came up blunt against Cock?
I think someone tried to sharpen their knife against the Berlin Wall.
Let me tell you this.
That didn't go... You didn't like that, did you? You weren't a fan of that?
No, the thing is, I know you're working on it, so... the BBC have just put out their team of the week, and three Leeds players are on it. And I'd just like to say that there's one Liverpool player on it. So, you know, fair play. Do you want to guess the three?
Dallas.
Carry on.
Have I started right?
Just carry on.
Dallas, Cock, and... Harrison, I would probably say, because he sort of wins plaudits.
Well, it's interesting because you've ignored who was our finest player.
What, Patrick Bamford?
No.
Ilan Meslier.
It's... Melier.
Okay.
Yeah. Melier, Cock and Harrison. Melier, Cock and Harrison in amongst a couple of Villa players, a Southampton player, Liverpool player, a couple of Scum players and Vardy.
Who was bad for us?
Do you agree? I think for me,
see, that's being harsh.
And the measurement is about effective and ineffective. I don't think it's necessarily like they were terrible at football on that day. It's about how effective were they.
The effective, the ineffective, and the ugly isn't a film that anyone's going to go and watch. So,
I think I probably would. Austin Powers.
Yeah, fair enough. You make a good point.
The Cock Who Shagged Me.
Yeah.
Other films, Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Yeah.
Gold member. I'm just coming back to Austin Powers, really.
And that shows the diet of films that you watch. And you consider yourself a connoisseur as well.
There's all the ones with The Rock in it.
Listen.
Okay.
Who was ineffective for you, to use
Get
your
hard.
Parlance?
Who's ineffective? I want you to talk to me about who you felt... Who did you feel was below your 7 out of 10s on the day? Who do you think was a bit quiet or a bit...
I think it was Roberts, but through no fault of his own.
Yeah.
I think the experiment has to end there.
What did we predicted famously? Everyone's talking about it.
The coffee houses are abuzz.
Yeah. The water coolers are
empty.
Tepid.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay. Nice. Now you said to me in Dreamland, what would you kind of want?
Yeah.
Outside of just saying the obvious, on the last podcast, and I said out of the first three matches, 4 points would be incredible.
Yeah.
Win or lose and a draw. We already had a loss by then, so we weren't, you know, we were licking our wounds. We had an outrageous game against Fulham, and then we had what is going to be a more likely solid game for us against Sheffield United. So 6 points out of nine is incredible.
Yeah.
For me, the Sheffield United match showed all of the kind of like papered over cracks of what occurred in the Fulham game, despite the fact that we won.
Yeah.
My only concern in terms of players and personnel and the rest of it is I'm getting not worried, but I'm excited about how Leeds are playing. I'm excited that their players are kind of seemingly fitting in. Cock is coming up to speed like massively.
Yeah.
Rodrigo was positive but limited at times, I felt. I would like to have seen him. He's a flair player. I'm hoping that there's a bit more to come from that.
Yeah, but the thing is, although there's flair, if you look at his goal involvements, he's been involved, maybe not with the direct assist, but he's been involved in the build up to a number of our goals. Yeah, the penultimate assist.
So for me, I want to know that there is going to be. I think there's the depth of the squad worries me a tiny bit. I think that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
We haven't got Harrison next week, and we just joked about Alioski, but we don't want to see Alioski playing.
No.
We?
It'd be quite
because
nice.
Because we think that we can get a point against Man City, right?
No, I think realistically not.
Well, that's what Leicester probably said before last weekend.
Yeah. But again, was
I've
that...
I've done another? You
there,
no.
Well, you... No.
No, okay.
Have you done me? No, I don't know.
Who was
ugly, and this can be including their players. And I'll tell you, straight away I look at players like Sharp, McBurney, Basham, and I think
They sound like Neanderthals.
They look like them as well.
Yeah.
They're that sort of player you look at and you think, oh no, they're gonna do something. They're either gonna injure our talisman or they're gonna score a goal and win 1-0. And it's just like, oh.
So we've seen a decadent side to Leeds against Fulham, and you could argue against Liverpool.
We've seen a generous side.
And we've seen a stoical side. Which one do you see as being the preference? Well, what do you want to see? Do you want to see gnarly ground out 1-0s, or do you want to be winning 4-3? Either way, we're going to be winning. But
I don't really care, because actually I think it's dependent on the opposition. It goes back to what we're talking about in terms of the difference between the Premiership and the Championship. The teams will play how they will play. So Sheffield United will play like they played against us,
yeah,
against Man City,
yeah,
against Liverpool. That's the way they play. Fulham, who I think...
Fulham are dead and buried,
aren't they? Yeah. I think they're going down. They will play like that against everyone else, and it shows it's not working. Liverpool will play as they are. It just depends on how the opposition play will flavour what our sort of play looks like. What on earth are you doing? What is that noise? You sound like a chipmunk. What are you messing around with?
I'm so nervous about my tantalisingly short time on Earth that I've decided to eat the entirety of my thumbnail.
That is one of the worst things I've ever heard of.
What is going to be the score against Man City at the weekend? Let's get to the end before we even get anywhere close. Because I think we're going to win.
Have you bitten into the pink?
The whick. Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I'm always disappointed if my fingers don't bleed.
Did a bit of the nail come out and then you were just putting it in, playing there, with it, yeah, in between, yeah, your teeth? Yeah. Oh, I can see it. 2-0.
To City.
If we're not careful.
I think it's hilarious that you would discuss our downfall.
Sorry, that was my fault.
Yeah, that's all right.
Look, listen. I think in my head...
Hang on a minute, wait there. Before you talk...
I would say we're sponsored by Yorkshire Tea, but we're not. And also, it sounds like you're spitting it back in the cup rather than actually drinking it.
I'm a seasoned, kind of like seasoned, lengthy sipper of all things liquid.
Did you? Or viscous even. Did you use that to swill down the nail that you've been biting?
Yeah, I actually did. You know, it tasted like copper because it's a bit bloody.
No,
yeah.
For pity's sake. Look, listen. I think my head says we'll lose. But my heart says their defence is so woeful, yeah, and they play such an open game that actually we could nick something there.
Are you... We're back on Radio Sci. Okay, head, heart, arse. Score draw.
Constipated score draw. Yeah. a really annoying handball VAR Sterling 89 minutes. Let Man City have the point, so people will buy the television.
Let me tell you something. My head and my heart on this are pretty close together, because if
that's a medical need.
If Everton were playing Man City this weekend, yeah, and I said to you, how do you think they're going to get on? You're going to go, Everton are playing really well. Man City look like a bit of a mess. As a minimum, it'll be a draw. I could see Everton nicking it. But you're not saying that about Leeds, and that interests me, that you would be so negative towards our own club, the club that we represent, the club that we're proud of, and that you would be such a naysayer such a negative Nelly.
I've raised this before. Your sheer arrogance at times is astounding.
Oh, yeah.
What you've done there,
yeah,
just in case you're confused,
yeah,
is you have created a fictional universe... There's none left. You're just into the soft pink. You create a fictional universe where you've asked me a question and I've answered in a way that is completely contrary to how I would answer it. You've then got yourself so lost in that story that you've then come back to make your point, convinced that I've actually said what you've just made up, and you think that that's proof that your point is right. How do you wake up in the morning, dress yourself, and face the day?
Okay, we're both okay.
And Bielsa watch?
He looks good in that new kit, doesn't he? Bielsa, he's not peeling anymore. From behind, if you don't mind me saying. I used to constantly watch his back peeling. Do you know what's unusual? Do you want to know something that's unusual about me? When I say sentences that are largely figurative or based around imagery, I then dream about that thing.
So you're going to be dreaming about Bielsa's back peeling.
And me having to push the fleshy...
Whilst you're biting your nails.
Yeah, and it's all bleeding. My mouth is filled with blood and his back is all peeling off and great big disgusting...
There's something Freudian going on here. Do you think Bielsa's your father? Do you want to murder him? What was particularly Bielsa?
What's the score at the weekend? Tell me a definitive score. Don't just tell me head, heart, arse.
1-1.
Who's going to score?
Bamford. Meslier!
Penalty. Meslier!
Yeah. Bamford or Ayling?
All right. That would be good for my fantasy football.
What do you reckon it's going to be?
I'm going to shock you. I think this might be the beginning of the end for Pep. I think it'll be 3-1 Leeds United.
Oh, you
football
flipper.
Club.
3-1. Who's scoring for us?
Because of the proliferation of them, we'll have a penalty. And it will be one of those mad... Someone absolutely spoons it out of the box and it hits an elbow, underneath of an elbow. And then everyone will go, oh. And then we'll... I'm thinking Rodrigo is going to open his account. No?
I don't think he's scoring this side of Christmas.
I think he's going to open his account from 20 yards in the bottom right-hand corner.
Oof. Mind you, that shot that knocked out one of the Sheffield United players looked pretty decent. Yeah. That was going in, wasn't it?
Rodrigo's... It's going to be a penalty. Click.
Yeah.
Click penalty in the first 25
Rodrigo.
Minutes. Rodrigo, 43 minutes. And everyone's going, oh, what's going on? Come back out. De Bruyne is going to spank one in from 25 yards. We're going to go, okay, this is the usual story. And then all of a sudden... Your boy Dallas. And he's going to be in the set. It'll be a scuffle. Ball comes into the box, hits someone's shins. Bang, Dallas, 3-1. Good night. God bless. We're going to shut up shop.
That's it. I'd love that.
Imagine if that happens now. So it'll be 3-1. We'll have 9 points from 12. We'll be one quarter of the way to safety. And that's how I'm viewing the season.
Yeah. I think that's right. And I think that's a good way of doing it. I said in our first podcast of... season 2.
You've got carried away though, haven't you?
I've not got carried away.
A little bit,
yeah.
but
I'm looking at the table already.
Yeah.
And it's like it's got ludicrous numbers like 0, 3 and 6.
Yeah.
The largest is 9. And I'm like, we're safe. We're in the European spaces.
Yeah. I'm already getting that printed on my shirt. Yeah, European. It's got 21.
We've got 6 points.
Yeah.
What was particularly Bielsa about this game?
I think it was that actually it was two very evenly matched teams, and in fact the real winner of the day was the tactics.
Yeah,
the real winner of the day was tactics. As simple as that, really. It wasn't that we dominated possession necessarily. It wasn't that we had, you know, I think we had an equal amount of shots on goal, more or less. Mm. It just felt like the small differences made the difference, and we had. You know, afterwards I was kind of in communique with a Sheffield United fan on Twitter. No, he was being perfectly decent. And he was just saying, at the minute, they can't buy a goal. And I feel like we're on the opposite end of that spectrum. At the minute, it seems like everything we're doing towards the goal is happening.
The clean sheet was pleasing as well, wasn't
Melier
it?
Melier was incredible. I tell you what, that save, that was one of those saves where, the save I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where it was point blank, it's a goal every time.
Yeah.
If any one of our players did that and missed it, we'd be fuming.
If it was Bamford, imagine, he'd be back in the bad books again.
Yeah.
But he guessed where the guy was going. So he could have got it spectacularly wrong, but we wouldn't have blamed him because the guy was through on goal.
Yeah, exactly. He was closing the penalty spot.
He rolled the dice and actually came up with...
A six. Well
done.
Your training wheels for metaphors are just about to come off.
I moved away from fajitas. I tell you what I was pleased with.
You're a famous fajita poet. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows Sai of I Leave There For I Am is the famous fajita poet. People stop me in the street and say, talk to me about salsa.
Is he the guy who eats fajitas whilst reading poetry and invites people to watch him?
Mm. And yeah. So, Melier.
I was quite pleased with the fact that actually we looked like we had more of a quality squad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. We're going to have to get used to the going surprise. Up against teams that have got, like, oh, James Rodriguez. You know what I mean? Like,
James, you absolute Neanderthal.
James.
Hang on, wait there. There wasn't enough spit on my...
James.
And when he calls, listen, Messi? I think when he calls Messi, it will go something like this.
Lionel, is that your James? Yeah,
James and Lionel.
So James Rodders.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have to go up against teams that have got players like that. And we're going to be like, oh, look at our plucky little Leeds. We weren't plucky little Leeds against Sheffield United. We were a team with seasoned internationals in a way that was... It was pleasing to see their quality compared to Sheffield's.
What I thought was quite interesting was that detractors of Sheffield, who are few and far between, actually became more numerous on the basis of, like, oh, it's just them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, oh, that was that team that got promoted by the skin of their teeth. Mm. And I think that's unfair. But a lot of people said, oh, they've lost their charm. Everyone sussed them out. Oh, their relegation. Mm. I don't think that's true. I think they'll finish somewhere between 12th and 10th, 12th, 14th. Somewhere like that. I think they're going to be okay because the thing that they're good at, that you can't sell. You know, Chris Wilder has got a bit of nous when he puts together a team that's going to...
Yeah.
I know I think they're having a bad run to begin the season. I can see them having a good 10 games and being halfway up the league.
Yeah, well, they need that, don't they? Because for every bad run, you need a corresponding good one.
Thank you, Doctor.
Well, you know.
How did you figure that out?
Well, you know, the second law of thermodynamics, actually. But
also, we're going to have a bad run. And I'll predict it's going to be around Christmas time when our Lord...
Yeah.
Jesus of Nazareth. I can't even get it out. When he comes to visit in some way, shape or form, as I understand it, comes down the chimney and tells us, Feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
Yep. Happy Christmas. It is me, Dad, Santa.
Yep.
We will be trying to score a goal.
Okay.
And I think Sheffield will be kind of grounding a little bit then, and I think Sheffield United will start to get results around about the time.
Jesus. Sum up the Sheffield United game in one sentence. That is actually a remarkably good description because that is exactly what
that's
I was feeling.
That's how you felt.
I was tense, worried, begging for a 0-0 draw.
Begging for it.
Yeah.
Yep. At 0-0, I was like, okay, I'll take it. It's my birthday. It was my birthday on that day. I thought, I'll take this. And as I sat there, quaffing Michelin-star food at approximately, you know, 1:30.
Yeah.
My phone called out to me and said that Sir Lord Patrick Bamford scored. And I just thought, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening?
I don't know. What were you doing? You were milking the cow at home or something?
That's outrageous.
No.
I was sat watching it.
Were you spooning gruel into your children's mouths? In their gums. Their dirty little gums.
I was, actually. It was lunchtime.
Were you mucking something out?
No, we were having a roast, actually. It was beef.
Yeah.
No,
fair play. Yeah, lovely. I had a bit of beef as well.
No.
Well, some people think this podcast has lost momentum.
Some would say it never had any.
No.
It's like trying to push a wagon up a hill.
No. Like Sisyphus.
Which, ironically, I was doing. No. Not Sisyphus. I wasn't doing him. A bit old.
I was trying to bring philosophy back into this philosophy podcast.
Well, we've got a point. We'll get to that.
Yeah,
right. My sentence to describe it was, ooh, yeah.
One more time in surround sound.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, that's a lovely sound.
I don't know what these people are saying that we don't sound professional.
No, I mean, I don't want to talk about that because I think one of the strategic things we have done is have a break so that the people that are being negative can actually just wander off and be negative about something else.
Yeah, that's true.
So now we've just got pure positivity. Pure positivity. Brought to you by Ellie's There 4 AM, a product of Science Due Entertainment.
I tell you what, it's genius.
Sisyphus, who was he?
Well, Sisyphus is a chap from ancient mythology.
Yeah, made famous by Albert Camus.
I mean, the idea of Sisyphus and Sisyphean sort of actions is that Sisyphus rolled a rock, a heavy rock.
Yeah.
Not too heavy that he couldn't roll it, but he'd roll it up to the top of a hill. What would happen when he rolled it up to the top of a hill?
I mean, you say hill.
A mountain, really.
Yeah, really, it was a mountain. It would roll straight back down.
And then what would he do with that rock?
He would continue in his endeavour.
He would turn around and he'd roll it back up again. And what is it a commentary on?
Thusly, it is a commentary on the meaninglessness of life, but with the faint fragment of hope that actually the point of life is in fact the struggle, as opposed to being constantly concerned about working hard and frittering your time away. In fact, the struggle is in fact the point of life, as all other subjective meaning is placed there by humans and their imagination, and is actually false and failing.
And Camus took it further, and he was like, it's not just that, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's absurd. Yeah. And so when we think of sort of our Sisyphean journey as Leeds fans, has Bielsa quarried the rock? Or are we still pushing it up a hill?
Do you know what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is now. Is we have made it to the top, and a quirk of physics has allowed...
A quark, you could say.
Why would I say that?
Because that's a physics word. Crack on.
A quirk of physics has allowed the rock, which I see almost as the size of an Empire State Building, to balance upon a stiletto-like point for a very brief time. So, and we have a reprieve, because everything at the minute is effortless, and we are starting to inject meaning that actually has a value and a currency. But
we're still in the absurd.
But we're still utterly absurd, because we're standing around with a man who I see Sisyphus as having a loincloth. I don't know about you. I see him as a six-pack, a beard, and a loincloth.
For me, he's always been weedy and just full-on naked.
I don't see him like that. I see him almost as like a Greek god.
Okay.
Like Atlas.
Yeah, okay. So this is interesting, because like we're in these halcyon days.
Lovely.
Bielsa has lifted us out of the mire. We're in the Premiership, we're in the promised land. But for you, the rock's still there. And not only that,
because
we're
Sam Allardyce is in the wings waiting. He's there waiting for Bielsa to say, I've done enough, I've recultured this club, I've re-established basically all of the moral imperatives for every single member of this overpaid, mad, commercial, superficial facade that is football. And then one day when he slinks back off to probably go to a monastery or just sit there eating super hot chilies and farting in his retirement, we will get the drudge of English football to come along and go, hit it up front and get on the end of it with a Kevin Davies like cat-like appeal.
All right, listen.
All
right. Listen, Kevin Davies was an amazing striker, so don't bring his name.
Can we loiter into some interesting territory? I want to fire some names at you and I want you to react, because one of the things that we always kind of think about is
So is this linked to your conviction that we are still Sisyphus, except some quirk of physics has kept that rock from rolling back down the hill? But it's inevitable, because it's a stiletto hill. You're now going to throw some names at me.
I want you to react in two sentences or less.
Okay.
I understand that you think a sentence is sometimes just a sound, so feel free to venture into that. Okay. And I want you to think about... Yeah, you should have kept that for the first one.
Oh, sorry.
I want you to kind of like really postulate on the what we might get given in the future, or what has been seen as completely okay in the past.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Two words. Ian Holloway.
A win's a win!
Okay. Paul Ince.
Oh. One eye buying a ticket, the other one looking for a seat.
Okay. Okay, you ready? So just think, in the future, and the not too distant future, we both have a fairly fairly large conviction that this is Bielsa's last season. And we're not saying that because we want that to happen.
No.
We're saying that because we just believe that to be true.
Yeah.
We've listened to his biographers, we've listened to people that know about him, and we've thought it through, and we've read, and we think this is it. So come next September, Steve McLaren.
Oh, eating fajitas, looking forward to a bowl of porridge.
Okay.
Steve McLaren, oh no.
I know. You ready?
No.
Okay. Sorry, there's just some way. I'm going to go with Peter Taylor.
Oh.
Two sentences or less.
Okay.
Every single sound is like that slow Peter trickle Taylor. Diarrhea.
Just put big man up the top and he'll head it in the goal.
Okay. All right. Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Paul Hart.
Yeah, see, the thing about football is that all you got to do is you've got to score one more goal than the opposition.
I'm going to give you one which is going to be shocking to you because I very much respect this man. Gianfranco Zola.
Yeah, that would be a mistake.
Laurie Sanchez.
Look, the sharks are circling. I don't like the name of any of these.
Okay. I'm going to give you a great one, okay? And I want you to rap. I want you to rap the
rap.
Response.
Rap the response.
And that sounds like impossible to you. John Barnes. Do you remember he was he tried his hand?
No, I know he tried his hand at rap.
I mean, and at football management.
Listen, I have got either it's a fleeting sense of dignity.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to rap.
Okay.
John Barnes shouldn't come anywhere near our club.
Okay. Paul Jewell. I actually quite like Paul Jewell at the time.
No, it's just so underwhelming though, isn't it? Are you going from Bielsa to Jewell? It's like, I had a Fiat Punto Grande and I traded it in for a Peugeot 305. I was like, oh, great. Orange as well it was.
Okay.
Terracotta.
Oof. I've got three more names for you. I'm going to fire them at you. Megson.
Prison.
Allardyce.
Prison.
And finally, and not leastly, I'm going to go for Pardew.
Operation Yew Tree.
He's done it! Okay.
I don't want any of them near our club. I'd rather have Corberan back.
Well, let me tell you something. The reality is...
Pochettino.
Oh, but he's going to get snapped up before then.
Oh, maybe not.
He will. He will get snapped up before then.
All right.
I just want Ruud Gullit.
Zidane?
Okay. So, no, that's just a little bit of fun. As opposed to the serious commentary that came before it.
I guess in some ways what it makes you realise is how fortunate we are to have what we have at the moment. And, you know, if we are back in the days where we've got a Megson, we've got a Pardew... if that's in a decade's time, we can be those fans that always look back and say, do you remember when we had Bielsa?
Yeah.
Do you remember when we had Wilkinson?
Mm.
Do you remember Reavy? You know, all of that.
Yeah.
Bielsa, I think, has entered the pantheon.
I'm going to be bold.
I know. It's hereditary.
I think that Bielsa is the greatest Leeds United manager that there ever was and there ever will be. Now, I can't predict the future, despite the fact that, like Nostradamus... my flights of fancy are like the wings of a futuristic dove.
No, like Nostradamus, you've just said loads of words and some of them have happened to stick.
Yeah. Ooh! You'd know. Takes one to know one.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we talked about Sheffield United, we talked about Man City, we talked about the players that we thought did really well and the players that just did pretty well.
We've talked about Sisyphus.
Talks about Sisyphus.
You're convinced we're still on a Sisyphean journey.
I didn't really finish my point. Oh, I did. I just...
Oh.
I feel like...
You don't even know if you made your own point.
I feel like we're in stasis.
I think Bielsa's quarried the rock.
Tell me something. Are you honestly telling me, hand on arse, that in 10 years' time you can't see us with a Paul Jewell, at the helm, getting the ball out to the wing backs to lob it forward 60 yards just to have it to come
my
straight
fingers
back.
Are spread.
Okay.
The hand is where it needs to be. In 10 years' time, we are going to be perennial top four candidates.
Oh, yeah. 10 years, is that all? Yep. Next year?
No. We're look at the names that have been associated to us. Look at the buzz that Leeds have created. Look at the size of our club. Look at the infrastructure that we're building. We are on the up.
Okay. Thank you for that unnecessarily energetic response.
Kwani did it, and you were like standing up and saluting, mate.
Yeah, but he openly admits that English is his second language. So listen, let me tell you, I've got two words for you that's going to excite you.
Okay.
Coussance. Okay. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know where he's come from. I know he plays for Bayern Munich. It looks like, as per usual, we've agreed with him that it's 20 quid a week in a Mars bar. But the club are going, yeah, we want some money as well. Yeah. So, do you know anything about this guy? Are you excited? What do you think?
Can we just cut through the nonsense at the moment? Nobody knew about Rodrigo De Paul until
he
wasn't a household name.
It blows my mind.
Now we're all talking about
him. I've been dying for this guy to arrive. It's like, you didn't know who he was.
He's a seasoned international. He's the mainstay of the Argentinian national side. We even said it ourselves. I don't know a lot about this guy. But the people who do know a lot about football are quite excited by this. Bayern fans are falling over themselves at the moment to say how stupid a deal this would be for Bayern.
Can I put something out there? I don't know why the transfer market is the way it is. It seems like to me at the minute, if you're a well-known club like PSG and Man City, they put an extra 30 million on the price. They're buying 29, 30-year-olds for mad money.
Yeah.
Why are Leeds fast-tracking what looked to be world beaters into our team for 18 million. I don't understand.
I think there's a number of factors. The fact is the continental market is, I think it is cheaper than the UK market. So you've got the UK tax.
Can you believe that we wanted Shea Adams not that long ago?
I know. It's a madness, isn't it? But I think that's that cascade effect. I think the moment Rodrigo... And I'll be forever thankful to Rodrigo because Rodrigo was the first one to put pen to paper.
Yeah.
You know, as a Spanish international going to a newly promoted side in the Premiership, he put pen to paper, which I think has then...
lubricated.
Sort of, it has. It's awakened the market in some ways.
I've been waiting for 45 minutes to say the word lubricated.
And the gestures that you made with your hand at the time.
Yeah.
No one can see.
No.
Apart from me. Yeah. But I think that lubricated the market in a way that meant that actually... we're now talking about players of a higher calibre who also are at a stage in their careers where they want to play regularly. I like the business that we're doing at the moment. You know, Bayern may well have come to the point where in the conclusion that actually he's a talent, he's someone who we would want, but he's still maybe two seasons away.
Yeah.
And knowing that maybe his contract has a certain length, why pay him the money that he's on or have to give him a new deal? Maybe we just need to say we've got the strength in depth that we need. And I wonder if that's where we're sort of looking and saying, where are clubs that have already got good strength in depth? Although, ironically, the Bayern fans don't seem to think that his position is one that they're particularly well endowed in.
Well, apparently they've gone and bought somebody else in the past couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one in, one out. He's only played 10 games last season.
And we know
he's got an absolute belter of a goal at the end of the season.
We also know that Bundesliga's clubs are like, they're run well.
Yeah.
And so when they do one in, one out, it's like they genuinely are looking to balance the books and that sort of thing. So,
we've both said openly that we don't really know too much about him. I don't think anybody does. I'm assuming Bielsa's got, you know, a corner of his office dedicated to him with like 14,000, you know.
He probably knows what formula he drank as a baby.
Yeah. But how does that stack up against the likes of someone like Todd Cantwell or someone like that? Do you think that...
Well, it sounds to me like at the moment it's not a versus. I don't think it's a case of we get
Cusson. Do you think it will work to have... Bielsa seemingly has listened to some people's warnings, and I'm assuming that someone behind closed doors, who is much more in a privileged state of knowledge than us, has said to him, Premiership doesn't really work on 11 players.
No, I think
he's seemingly
you're right.
Building two teams, like a shadow team, to go along... Do you think that works? Do you think that you could have eight or nine players waiting in the wings to come in and they'll play you as effectively?
It's got to because actually if you look at the top Premiership clubs, they have larger squads than us, of quality.
Yeah.
The question mark is whether or not Bielsa has the skill set to manage the selection.
Because what we said before was the difference between, say, I guess Pep Guardiola and Pochettino and Bielsa is that, especially if you watch those kind of documentaries on Amazon, what you see, there's an awful lot of man management. And Bielsa looks to be 100% a coach.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's personnel skills involved with Pep Guardiola, although it's not going very well at the minute.
No.
But he seems to be able to manage huge egos. And
again, though, these guys that are coming in, they're not huge egos. They seem like honest workers who want to improve and want to improve under Bielsa. So, you know, at the moment, we have someone who is a pull in terms of, like, you want to disciple yourself to his tutelage. You know, I think it would be an amazing move for if we got this Cuisant guy and also Cantwell. I think Cantwell has impressed me.
Are you concerned? I was talking to a Liverpool supporter. Boo! I was listening to a Liverpool supporter earlier, talking to him, and he was saying that it's all great, and he couldn't give enough praise for Leeds United, but he did kind of make a reference to, are they just doing what they did before with Ridsdale? Just like spending hand over fist just to kind of get all these players in, and then what about if we have a bad 6 months and we're rooted to the
bottom? Though, and this is the thing, like, we're not, like, if you actually look at the prices,
80
for
million
players,
quid if this goes through,
yeah, that's a big spend. But if you look at the amount of money that's come in,
that's about how much Man City pay for 130 year old.
Yeah. I don't think we are doing that, because also crucially, there's no sense that we've mortgaged our season tickets on us staying up.
No.
Because that doesn't seem to me to be the way that Radziani works. Plus, we've still got a really, like you said, a thin squad. Yeah. So these quality signings coming in, although we're suddenly having a strange amount of strength in depth that we've not had before.
We definitely need to ship a couple of people out, though, don't we?
Yeah. I think you're right.
And obvious. I think some of the talk about. But...
Yeah. And I think some of the under-23s as well, going on loan, is going to really work.
I think we're going to have a really amazing problem. I think there's going to be some people that are knocking in goals for fun and having huge amounts of assists, and they're playing for Oldham or whatever, and then all of a sudden we're going to be saying, well, how can they not come back after a year and be part of the team?
It's exciting times, mate. And, you know, it's one of those that, like I said, fell out of love with it all a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It was an emotional response, I think, to wanting a PlayStation, getting a PlayStation, and then not liking the first game that I played.
Yeah.
But then going back to it and realising how good it is.
Yeah.
Having played a Super Nintendo beforehand. I tell you what, the analogies keep dripping out, don't they?
Dripping is exactly
But so I'm excited for the season to come. I really am. And actually, I think this is a great time to be a Leeds fan.
Do you think that there will be a point when I feel like we're a bit of a joke team at the minute to some other teams?
Yeah, well, the fact that there have been links to Holloway and... Blackpool and the way they went.
Do you think there'll be a point?
We're a different beast.
If we win, say, the next 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 6, do you think teams will start being really nasty and cynical against us?
I think yesterday's result probably started that thought process. Maybe not amongst the fans of opposition clubs, but definitely amongst the players and the coaches.
Yeah.
Yesterday's game was a mature game. This weekend's game was a mature game. It was a well-managed game. Yep. It was a tense game.
That's a scary game for the likes of Arsenal or Man United, where they go, if we go toe-to-toe with these guys in the last few minutes, if we don't keep concentrating, then there could be something that comes out of nowhere.
So I think in some ways yesterday...
Other teams in the top six would want us to be playing 4-3s every week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, because they know they'll outscore us.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, it's like, well, the chances are we're going to score in a game. So if you want to beat us, you need to score at least 2.
Yeah.
And suddenly seeing us coming up with clean sheets...
Yeah.
Admittedly against a side that's not scored this season yet. But at the same time...
It's still a solid Premier League
team. Yeah, absolutely. You know, a team that was up there. We're shaping up well. I don't think we're a joke club. We've not got Gary Taylor-Fletcher, Blackpool had. We've got Rodrigo.
Do you think that there is a danger, and this is the final piece of the interrogation, do you think there is a danger that if we have an influx... of, let's say, before the window closes, we have 3 or 4 new players? Because it seems like still the ludicrousness of being linked with... the other day I thought I saw your name being linked with being bought, but then I realised that I was just deleting your contact from my phone.
Yeah.
Do you think that 3 or 4 new players coming in might, in any way, shape or form, start to affect the cohesion of the team?
No, the only sort of unhappiness that I've picked up in terms of Cajun's team was Struyck,
right,
where he felt that he was thrown under the bus by being played in an unfamiliar position,
yeah,
in the heat of the championship and, you know, shipped his points.
Mm.
And he was going to leave, apparently. He's the only one that seemed to have carried some level. It wasn't even ego. It was dignity, I think, that came out from there. And it took some convincing to stay.
I guess one of my points might be that, you know, Dallas is a really good player. Is he a top four player?
Well, at the moment, he is.
Okay. If you had a spare 25 million quid and were offered a, you know, Uruguayan wonder kid that's 19 years old that Barcelona are trying to buy, and he wants to come to Leeds United, is there a case in point for saying, Dallas is great, but we need to get this lad for the future?
Well, it depends how he does in Murderball. And I think that's what's quite nice about our system at the moment. It's like, there is clarity there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bielsa has a system. We know that people will come to play for Leeds because of Bielsa.
Mm.
Hopefully, people will come to play for Leeds because when Bielsa goes, we have a style of playing that they want to be a part of. But we've got a system in place, yeah, which is, you come in, it doesn't matter what your name is, if you are good in Murderball, if you're good in training, and it's the right time for you to come in, I'll put you in the team. Also knowing that if you get into the team at that point, Bielsa will keep his loyalty with you. The fact that Alioski is still darkening Elland Road's doors whilst we're in the Premiership, and we're talking about him, we're almost certain, aren't we, that he's going to start against Man City.
I think so.
Is a madness. But Bielsa's so loyal. So if you're looking at that and you're thinking, yeah, it might take me a little while, Meslier, he's another. I was really worried that we'd have Casillas in goal this season. Mm. But Meslier has
proven himself.
Yeah, he's proven himself.
Apparently, he's the best keeper, technically, on paper, depends what stats you look at, in the top four.
Top four
divisions in any league in Europe. He's kept the most clean sheets.
Bamford shows you that. Costa shows you that. Harrison shows you that. So if you break into this team, you will be rewarded. I think he did that again with Tyler Roberts. I'll give you this half.
Mm.
Clearly wasn't working.
Mm.
On comes Rodrigo. I think we'll probably be seeing Rodrigo starting more now.
Mm.
You know, it's one of those things. Cock, he could have been benched after two high-profile mistakes. They were mistakes. Two high-profile mistakes, but he's not. He's kept his faith and he's put in a performance like that. If I'm a player looking to come to Leeds, I know that I might have to bide my time, but once I do, and once I'm in, I'm part of that team.
And that is a phenomenal place to pause.
Oof.
What a ball bouncer.
Okay, yeah.
Right then. Now listen, if copyright laws didn't exist, this is the bit where I'd say the boys are back in town and we'd split. But copyright laws do exist and we have good enough music of our own. So there's a lot of Leeds United podcasts out there. Good luck to them.
Yeah.
But the boys are back in town. And here we are, we're here to stay.
Every Tuesday. We'll record.
Absolutely.
It will sit on your hard drive for a while.
Yeah.
Amongst the German torture.
Porn. You didn't want to say the word porn.
And then accidentally you'll upload one time.
One day you'll reach over for the carrier bag and the orange, and you'll go, I leave, therefore I am. And you'll pop it down, you'll let the kids out the closet, and you'll pop it on, and then there'll be this salubrious helping to help you get through the day.
Yeah.
Brilliant. let's bring the old beat in, boy. Here we go. Drive away to that.
I leave, therefore
I am.